Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Isaiah 10, verses 33 to chapter 11, verse 9, and Matthew 3, verses 14 to 22. Reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled, God is Working His Purpose Out in Our Lives.
We'll start with our first reading then, Andy, Isaiah chapter 10. Start at verse 33 to chapter 11, verse 9.
Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with terrifying power. The tallest trees will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. He will hack down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon, with its majestic trees, will fall. A shoot shall come out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze their young, and the young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter 8, verses 14 to 22, Matthew, that is, sorry. When Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were possessed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Now, when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. A scribe then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. There is one verse in our first reading that really spoke to me, and this idea that the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What an amazing future still to come, that one day the earth will be so full of the knowledge of God, that what was expressed before, kind of a full healing, a real peace, and that future. And of course, the coming of Jesus was a signpost of what was to come, and he brought healing and wholeness and hope, but also truth. And in this passage, we kind of have both the ministry of healing that Jesus brought, and the ministry of truth that following him is costly. So we have this healing, and it's not a distant healing. Jesus goes into a house and hold the hand of Peter's mother-in-law and bring her to good health. And it's also quite striking that immediately she is working. She is at work serving Jesus. A picture of when Jesus comes into our life is for a purpose, and he has a purpose for us, and we can put ourselves fully into that purpose. And healing is not just physical, it's also the transformation of ourselves, as our lives, from fear to trust, maybe from bitterness to forgiveness, from despair to courage. And maybe we don't see the kind of healing that the people at Jesus' times would heal, when Jesus with one word would bring healing to a people or deliverance. But we should be grateful, because we are in a season where actually we have regularly healing through the skills and the abilities of doctors and nurses and the discoveries of medicine. And they're all gifts from God. It all depends how our attitude. If our attitude is an attitude of gratefulness, and then we will see how God has been good to us in the Western world in bringing all those amazing abilities to keep our bodies alive, and they haven't been kept alive as well as before, and it brings all kind of issues with we live longer, and we are retiring, but that's the reality. God is good. And we need to have our eyes opened to the goodness in our own times. And then we had this challenge that following Jesus, yes, we receive grace as a gift, but following him, the discipleship, our response is costly, but actually it's not costly, because by doing so, we win everything. We win his presence, his strength, his guidance, and a life of purpose. So the scribe is enthusiast. He's willing to embrace following Jesus, but Jesus reminds him what it really means. It's not just an add-on on his life. It's going to be a full reorientation, a full redirection. It doesn't mean for most of us that, you know, we going on a mission trip and we're going to stay abroad all the time. Also for us, some of us, it is the reality, and it has been with Jackie and your husband. God has moved you to a different place and brought a great fruitfulness among the Arabic world. But for many of us, it's really about the obedience where we are. It's more about a posture than maybe a physical move. It's a readiness to obey in the circumstances we are, readiness to be detached from the wealth that we have, to be grateful for it, but to use it with generosity and with wisdom. So true discipleship always reorient our lives. We always know a before and an after, even in our, if it's just in the way we see life and our attitude. And that's part of following Christ. So that's my thoughts, but at the heart is this hope of the future, that one day the earth will be full with the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the seas.
Something
for you?
Mine's very, very brief. It just, as you were repeating that last line of the song, it just sprang into my mind that, you know, it is happening now with our modern technology. Over a billion downloads of the Holy Bible across the world in 600 languages has been achieved by YouVersion. So the word is out there around the world. Of course, a closed book, we have to open that book and read its contents. But nevertheless, I think there's a lot of rejoicing there.
Mm-hmm. I think thanks for Bible translators, you know, Bible translators, definitely.
Yeah.
Made it available to all the other languages.
Mm-hmm. And then we have series like The Chosen and how that spreads. And of course, we lots of people are negative or afraid, and they are, you know, dangerous with AI. But what it can do is it can have translate immediately a film and have subtitles in other languages. Mm-hmm. So it's quite extraordinary that it can use something like The Chosen, and then it can translate it to Spanish or Italian without having professionals having to work before that can happen. Everyone can see subtitles now from any kind of other languages.
That's good, because it that makes it instant. The only thing that concerns me slightly, and maybe is my age, but it's taking jobs away from people.
It is, yes, they are the negatives. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It is how we use it. Do we use it in a greedy way to cut costs and increase, increase profits for a few?
Mm.
Do we use it in, you know, like in medicines, where they are able now to have scans using those kind of technology, and they can see things that human eyes can't see or discover, and discover in medicines, and
possibly one of the greatest gifts in the 20th century was the gift of the English guy that launched the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Made no profit. He wouldn't let the people that were helping them make profit. It was a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything, it's used for good, or it's used for evil. But where would we be? I mean, I can remember a time when there was no internet to the ordinary person. There was intranet, and so I went through all of that.
Yeah.
But where would we be? Where would we be now, talking to each other, seeing each other's faces?
Yeah.
It's across the miles, isn't it? You think of people who've got, like Sainsbury's having family in Australia, you know, you can actually see them. You can do Zoom talks or whatever, you know, and FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
So you're actually seeing your grandchildren and your children growing up, and you're not missing out on things.
Yeah. Yeah, before you would dread having to phone because it was so costly to phone. International was like arms and legs. And now, actually, basically, it's free to be able to have those conversations. Cool. Let's pray that as people, as Christians, we will use whatever is available, technologies, medicines, to the glory of God and for the advance of his kingdom, and pray for wisdom of those who are leading us. Pray for the day's task and the world and its needs.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.